Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell next to it on YouTube. Make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content. If you're listening to this show on a podcast app, you know, a really great, free, and easy way to support Going In Raw is to leave a rating or a review on whatever podcast app you're using. Really does help build exposure for the show. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. It's a great way to help Going In Raw to support the show. And in return, we give you stuff. Right now, we got 40 friendos watching this podcast as a live stream.
Yep.
Hey, oh, it's the comic book.
Oh, you
so,
found it.
I'm going to start sending these out once the payments are processed through the for the February patrons.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get the $20 and up patrons get this comic book, some of these stickers, like the Steven Larson stickers, this great poster of Mecha Santa. And then if you want something to wipe your butt with, top-notch super best on the other side.
I mean, he's a super best.
Yeah, man. Anyways, and a postcard. So all good stuff there at the patreon.com/Steven
yes.
Larson. Also, we're on prowrestlingtees.com. Look at all those shirts right there.
I'm not wearing one of our shirts
we're
today.
We're swimming in our shirts, Larson.
Where are you?
Yeah, lots of great shirts there.
Yeah, anyways. Good shirts. We've got good shirts.
Hey, we got some good shirts out there. You guys want a shirt?
Oh, my goodness. Sorry.
Oh, no, man. You can't do that. Today's NXT 205 Live Day. Get your yawns out, and then we're going to kick some ass today because I loved 205 Live, and I loved NXT.
All right.
They were man, we had a T-shirt swerve. We had a T-shirt recruitment swerve. Poor Cesar Banana. He got swerved.
I mean, I'm happy he was voted future star of NXT.
So apparently you're not going to change his name?
Yeah, it kind of seemed like his thing now was what he was doing before being repackaged.
Right.
And being pushed for reals.
Yeah. He didn't get like a proper...
No, not that I'm
aware
of.
Then he's like a developmental guy.
Yeah.
So like good for him. Like that's not easy these days.
I know.
To come up through developmental as opposed to like, you know, from the indie ranks. Even Donovan Dijak is working security these days.
Yeah.
Which is mind-boggling to me. That was really weird.
What do they call it? Future Star?
NXT Future Star 2017.
I'm trying to see who the other nominees were.
I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm going to look.
Time to find out.
Anyways, carry on.
Well, I'm kind of curious about this now.
Well, I'm on it, man.
You're almost there.
Well, there's Breakout Star, and then there's Future Star.
There we go.
We have Street Profits, Heavy Machinery, Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane, Fabian Aichner, Cesar Bononi, Lio Rush, Bianca Belair, and Lacey Evans. Actually kind of impressive that he won that.
Okay, hold on a second. Wait, back up.
Those are the nominees.
How did he win against like 90% of those names?
I don't know.
Okay, so he should have won against Fabian Aichner. He should have won against maybe Lacey Evans, but beyond that, Street Profits, Heavy Machinery, Shayna, Kairi,
and Lio Rush, and Bianca Belair.
They all kind of eclipse him. Maybe it's like, maybe they that award was just for, they're like, hey, we need to push this guy somehow. Let's give him Future Star 2017. And then they made up a bunch of other names.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know who else he was supposed to.
Well, I mean, this is all done on Twitter, I think. So maybe he just ran a better social media campaign than anybody else.
That was rigged. There is no chance, even on social media. There is not a chance that he beat out all those other people on social media for reals.
I'm just trying to find some logic to it all, man.
Did he hire like the Twitter bots or something?
Maybe.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah,
I'm glad that he won. I'm just saying. Maybe everybody else was like, well, those other people are all real stars.
Oh, Karen says the people of Brazil voted a lot in the retweets.
Okay. All right. Karen's our NXT insider.
Yep.
That's hilarious. Good day. Good for him, man. That's awesome. That's not real though. Anyways. What did you think of 205 Live?
It was good. It was a good show. Two good matches, and they just concentrated on the matches. Mustafa Ali had a really good promo.
Yeah, I liked his promo. I feel like he's going to acting class or something. Because I feel like he seems to be making a really concerted push, whether it's on 205 Live or in his like little Twitter promos,
mm-hmm.
to really get across his personality.
I know.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Real smart move.
It really is.
And it's not like a gimmick or anything like that.
It's just seems, it seems very genuine.
Super sincere. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that.
No, I really like that he's doing everything he can to
stand out.
To stand out. And, you know, he's might be the most well-rounded performer on 205 Live in terms of what he does in the ring, outside of the ring, in terms of how he presents his character, all that.
Right now, he's eclipsing Cedric in terms of like who I know or what I know about them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, I totally get his personality.
Yeah.
And then he's right there with him in terms of in-ring ability.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of Cedric, he kicked off the show in a match against TJP.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric cut an iPhone promo, said earlier in the day, but it seemed pretty similar to what ran last week.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was different. Also, TJP did an interview backstage before the match.
I kind of wish they'd let him drop his
video game thing.
No, I don't care. Honestly, I don't care about that. It's just when he talks on the, he still doesn't come off as, he sort of reverted to not really being
maybe
convincing.
Lose face in his promo.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, that's what it was.
I mean, I appreciate the guy in the ring, and I think he's fantastic in the ring. The fact that they're sort of not really emphasizing too much, like, you know, the character, excuse me, is a good thing. But the fantastic match, this match went forever. It was really
about
good.
20-some minutes it went. There was a lot of really good, like, technical mat-based wrestling to begin the match.
Mm-hmm.
Some good storytelling with TJP working over Cedric's knee.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric finding ways to come back, counter it, escape the knee bar a couple times.
This match had a really, really good build to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're given 20-some-odd minutes, you get a lot of time to build up, you know, your story.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they did a fantastic job with this. Cedric and his knee injury towards the end, when he sort of missed whatever it was he missed. I forget what it was.
Oh, he tried to do the
he did the
neuralizer kick.
Yeah, he did that, but then he also
TJP caught it. Yeah,
and then he also did the plancha or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he landed. They said he landed on his knee. That was storyline. He didn't.
Yeah.
He just landed on his lower back.
Yeah.
But still, I honestly never understand how these guys don't royally mess themselves up.
Oh, doing that stuff.
Planchaing onto nothing.
You see, Sandra was right there first row.
Oh, I didn't notice.
During 205 Live, yeah, and she posted a video. I think on Twitter. I think it was her of Cedric's plancha from her perspective, and man. Seeing it
like that,
makes it look like he lands so much harder than he does.
Oh,
makes
man.
It seem like when the broadcast, you know,
dude. You really do take for granted what these guys put their bodies through,
mm-hmm.
because you're so used to seeing it stylized on TV, and then when you see, yeah, I imagine I'll have to go back and watch your video. But like when you think about what they're doing, they're just jumping off something onto nothing.
Yeah, pretty much, and like
landing.
TJP. You know, sometimes,
barely.
Yeah. Cedric hit his shoulder.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see guys actually literally go up and try to catch the person.
Right, yeah.
To help break the fall.
Yeah.
TJP didn't do that. I don't know if that was something they worked out in advance.
Yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes it's luck of the draw, you know?
Yeah. Like whether you're in position or not, yeah.
Right. Happened so fast.
I know. It's insane to see those spots.
And then he just sort of gets up. And
gets
I know
up
he's
and
selling, and I'm sure it hurts, but to finish the match, and I mean, to, you know, we've talked about that before, like, I know these are trained professionals and they do that stuff, but still, good Lord.
I know.
You know,
and to do that.
If that was me, I would have
all
a permanent injury.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Just once.
I know. That would have wrecked my neck for life.
If I could even jump and flip out of a ring in the first place, I'd probably just get hung up in the
that's
ropes.
That's the first huge if.
Oh, man. Anyways.
I'll
throw this out there, too. We give him a lot of guff, but Roman Reigns, the fact that he's able to like leap
the
ropes.
Oh, I know, man.
It's really impressive. And he's wearing like baggy pants and boots and
And a heavy vest.
And he's able to leap the ropes. It's impressive stuff.
It is, man.
Yeah.
He's a quality athlete.
Yeah, man.
Cedric went over with a lumbar check.
Kind of came out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, it did.
Kind of cool. But no, that was a fantastic match. Crowd was dead through most of it.
Yeah.
But then towards the end, they started to pick up a little bit more. Once you see two guys going through that, it's hard for a crowd not to start getting into it. Because by the time, you know, they sort of warmed up the crowd, by the time Roderick Strong and Kalisto was doing their thing, they were getting 205 chance, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would love this to be in like a 1,000-person arena. Or a 1,000-person venue, rather.
Yeah, where everybody's
the entire crowd is doing
like at
that.
A fever pitch for this
from
stuff.
Like 5 minutes into the match, because that's how it would be.
No, even into the match, they start the show with a 205 chant.
Yeah, there you go. So, hey, did you hear about PWG?
Yeah, man.
Wow. Well, PayPal messed up. We have to change venues. You guys are changing venues for, you know, a show? Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, it's almost double the size.
I know. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, you know, it's from 400 to 700.
Yeah, I know.
So any step up from 400 is going to be probably
significant. The pictures of the venue, it looks beautiful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
I haven't seen it. The Globe Theater?
Yeah, I think in downtown, yeah.
Interesting. I'll have to check out the pictures.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
I wish they'd start. That'd be cool. I mean, I get the idea of...
Ryan Satin posted some on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So check them out. It looks like a really nice place.
Cool.
Next, we had a Drake Maverick video package. It was kind of like his 205 Live manifesto, putting forth his vision for the program, which I'm sure is just Triple H's vision for the program.
Right, exactly.
Focus on in-ring competition.
But hey, he channeled Triple H's vision very, very well. That dude, he's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I love that he keeps saying, and I like that he kind of explained, wait, did he do that this week or last week? How he kind of explained the name Drake Maverick. He didn't really explain it.
No, I didn't.
I think there was a lengthier version of this on their social media.
Oh.
Because when I watched this, I was like, wait, are they breaking up this into a couple parts? But there was like a 2-minute version on like their Twitter or something like that. And he says, used to be known as Rockstar Spud. Chose the name Drake Maverick because I'm a bit of a maverick.
Didn't literal.
Yeah, didn't. Exactly.
I would like much rather hear him say, I'm a huge fan of Top Gun.
Right. So I'm a massive Dirk Nowitzki fan. And I love Mark Cuban. Made perfect sense. Also love Drake and Josh. Next up, we already kind of mentioned this Mustafa Ali promo.
Great stuff.
Really good stuff. And then in response to that, they caught up with Buddy Murphy in a very NXT-esque press conference.
Yeah, I think there's only one reporter asking questions rather than three or four, but it was the same kind of feel.
Yeah.
He was putting his bag in the, looked like the bus.
I kind of wish they gave the same treatment to Ali. As much as I'm totally cool with this stuff, I do like the sort of immediacy of,
hey, buddy,
tell us what you think about Mustafa Ali. And he basically said if he thought Jack Gallagher put the hurting on, he has no idea what Buddy Murphy can do.
Yeah.
I'm the best kept secret.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a secret anymore. Anyways, so that was good. Then finally in the main event, we had Kalisto versus Roderick Strong. Hell of a match, man. There were a couple spots that I was like, wait, was that supposed to happen? One that I knew was supposed to happen that was absolutely fantastic was on the outside of the ring when Roderick Strong went to give Kalisto a powerbomb, and Kalisto reversed that into like just sending Roderick Strong flying
like
into the barrier.
Rana. Yeah,
into like a Rana thing, which just came out of nowhere.
You know what I love best about Roderick Strong is his suddenness.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'll go from staying there to pulling off like an extremely violent and or dynamic move in the matter of milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he suplexed Kalisto on the announce table.
Yeah, right.
It happened in a matter
of
a second.
That was great.
And the amount of force behind what he does, even just the finish where he drops. He gets Kalisto up in like a pedigree position, backbreaker, instantly transition that and the heartache to get the win.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Roderick Strong's suddenness.
Oh.
Perhaps my favorite aspect of what he does. What?
Manuel Garcia de Paredes in chat here mentions in the extended version on WWE YouTube, they put an image of Impact logo.
Interesting.
That's true. Yeah. It showed a picture of him and clear as day, there's an Impact logo on a turnbuckle. Yeah, no, I agree with you about Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong is probably my third favorite. He's maybe tied for first with Gargano and AJ Styles for my favorite wrestler in WWE right now. This dude, I think it's so many different things, and it's funny because like promo wise, personality wise, he's like probably second to last on my list of guys that I really want to listen to.
Yeah,
he's like just above Kalisto, but I will always take a Roderick Strong match over pretty much anybody else. It's what you said, plus the fact that his selling is so compelling. He weaves his selling into the pace and build of the match. So you're always emotionally invested in what he's doing via his selling and the facial expressions, what he's selling, the pace of it. It's something that it's so difficult. He's been doing this. His debut was in 2000. He's been doing this for a very long time.
Yeah.
And so it's obvious he knows his craft very well.
Yeah.
And I'll totally admit, like I am not familiar with his work in Ring of Honor. I'm anxious to make some time and go back
it's those, but I have some PWG DVDs with some of his matches on there.
Yeah.
So we get to the office. If we ever get to the office, we can watch those.
If that ever happens.
Another thing about Roderick Strong is that he's ridiculously strong. We saw this in his match against Drew Galloway.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to pick him up and do all sorts of backbreakers, but he's in there with competitors his size or smaller. He's picking them up with the ease and throwing it around. It's great.
Because that's that spot on the outside where he goes for the powerbomb on Kalisto, that takes extraordinary effort from both men to pull that off. And with the amount of like kinetic energy that they had, you know, for Roderick Strong to get Hoonan Conranad out of a powerbomb and be sent into the barrier at like insane speeds.
Yeah.
That takes so much from both guys, I would imagine. So I don't know. It was just a freaking fantastic match. Roderick Strong did go over with End of Heartache. So we're looking at a semifinals, right?
Cedric versus Roderick Strong.
Holy crap.
There'd be a lot of backbreakers.
You know what? I'd love them. I don't know how much time is left till Mania. It'd be great if they gave that match an entire 205 Live.
It'd be
and
fantastic.
Then on the other side, an entire 205
Live. We have about a month. So next week will be the other quarterfinals. So we'll have Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali, and then Mark Andrews versus Drew Gulak. That would be on what's today? The first?
Be like what? The ninth?
Sixth.
The sixth. Okay, the sixth.
So it'd be almost exactly a month from there till Mania.
Yeah.
With only two more matches to get in before Mania, so it's possible.
Yeah. Boy, that'd be something else.
That'd be the right move, I think.
Yeah, I think so, man. Boy, that'd be. That'd be pretty neat. Anyways, let's see here. Next up. Oh, now we get to talk about NXT. My favorite. My flippin' favorite, dude. We had kicking things off, the Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Bate. Good Lord. I mean, that's a freaking takeover right there. You know what I mean? That's fantastic. I loved, number one, there was a couple things about this match that I really loved. I love that Velveteen Dream did such a great job at the beginning of this match, keeping up with Tyler Bate's.
Oh, the British style.
The British style, which is like super fast and like super neat looking these days with all the like doop.
Have you watched? I know, was it Lariato, the Twitter account?
Yeah.
Was posting some GIFs of a Johnny Saint match a while ago.
Yeah, did you check
those out?
Yeah, I've just seen like the GIFs, same as you.
Yeah.
It's always amazing stuff.
Yeah.
It's always, I wouldn't mind going back and seeing some World of Sport.
It's just so different from, you know, what we grew up with in the 80s and 90s.
Lumbering wrestling.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of lumbering going on.
As opposed to there's a lot of joint manipulation and countering and wrestling, what feels like actual,
energy,
more like actual wrestling. Yeah.
But I love, so he got flustered early on by Tyler Bates, you know, British style of wrestling and flipped out, went outside, started banging stuff.
Kicked the ring steps.
But the fact that he was able to, like, you know, I mean, so that's in character stuff that he's not able to keep up or he's not able to counter. But the fact that he was able to do all that stuff along with them, because again, that depends on two people
really
knowing their stuff, was absolutely fantastic. I love that. He's so over too. And the thing that I love about one of the many things that I love about Velveteen Dream is that he doesn't have standard ring gear.
Mm-mm.
He just comes out and there's that, that's so.
Well, his constants for at least television are the pants and the boots.
Yeah.
But everything else.
Right.
Depends on.
And that's so unique because he's supposed to be a fan. Like, it should be. That's the thing that always. It was one. Like, when TJP would come out and dab every time, I'm like, why doesn't he do something different?
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time out, just do something new. Mm-hmm. Be new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Velveteen Dream does that. I mean, he does the great. Because his arms are like 8 feet long, and it's a great visual when he juts his arms out.
Yeah.
But he's the most, like, fresh feeling wrestler there is. And I feel like that's. Something that a lot of people need to look at and be like, you know what? I don't need to do the same thing every time. I don't need the same like three variations of tights every single time.
No.
Like to stay fresh.
Yes.
Anyways, Velveteen Dream ended up going over with the Purple Rainmaker once he took control of the match.
Yes. Which he did.
Another loss for Tyler Bate.
But say the same thing.
And they emphasize that. I hope that that's not just. Hey, just in case you want to make a story out of this, let's emphasize the fact that he lost again.
Oh, you know, yeah, especially in light of reports we heard about him being punished for not dropping previously scheduled dates to do stuff for WWE.
To their credit, we did not get the same video package this time
with
Tyler Bate. I was kind of disappointed. I was looking forward to making fun of that on the show. This one's a bit. This one's about. This is it. I'm 19 years old. I'm very mature for my age. You're like 23 by now.
Yeah, I know, man.
Oh, man. Anyways, yeah.
Next.
Fantastic.
We had a Paul Ellering promo.
They were in like a stairwell.
Yeah.
Some sort.
I think at the theater.
Cameraman was down at the bottom of the stairwell.
Yeah.
Paul Ellering was up there. The
algorithm.
Ropes. They're the Dusty Rhodes Tag Classic, Tag Team Classic, and the Authors of Pain. They should have been called up a while ago. Why am I still even here?
Well, he's talking about how they're going to win it and then going to reclaim the NXT Tag Team titles.
Yeah, there's no need for
that. Now that we've seen the bracket, should we try to make our picks?
I don't know, man, because I know like at least one early spoiler.
Oh, all right.
But let's take a look at the brackets here. And a Dusty Rhodes Classic 2018. Let's see if the... Here we go. Revealed. Really? No picture? Are you serious with this? Oh, here we go. First round. Well, I want brackets.
Oh.
I don't want Regal's face, man.
Yeah. What, the first round there's... Authors of Pain versus TM61. They advertised that last night in the show. And it's Street Profits versus Heavy Machinery.
All right.
Mustache Mountain versus Lorcan and Burch, and then Sanity versus Sabatelli and Moss.
Okay, so here's my general line of thought.
Just pick a winner. We don't have to go through individual matches. Pick a winner.
No,
of the
that's
tournament.
Fine. I'll give you who I think is going to be in the finals. I think it's going to be Authors of Pain in the finals, and I think it's going to be
probably Authors of Pain versus Sanity.
Who won last year?
Authors of Pain.
Who won the year before that?
Joe
and Finn? Was that the year before that? Boy, that was a waste. I feel like they need to be building somebody new in this.
No, I agree.
But nobody on this side right here is going to be a winner besides...
Sanity.
Besides Sanity, I guess. But Sanity also needs to get called up.
Yeah, I know.
My God, yeah. Like, if this was the finals right here, or even this right here versus this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that. That's garbage.
Yeah, you don't like Heavy Machinery.
And weights. Get out of here with Stakes and Weights. I don't know, man. I mean, I would love to think that they would make like an underdog story out of Oney, Lorcan, and Danny
Burch.
Yeah,
I know.
But they haven't even been on TV.
I know.
So, I mean, that's not going to happen.
I'd love to see Street Profits get to the finals at least.
I know.
Their video last night was fantastic. Their man on the street interviews of each other. That was so good.
I mean, it should be TM61 going through, to be honest with you. They should be winning this thing because they've got the story. You know, that's what it should be. But they're matching up against Authors of Pain in the first round. I don't know how that's going to... Because I think Authors of Pain, I think they're going to have them give them a big send-off to Maine. I think that's going to happen. I mean, that's a silly first-round matchup.
Yeah, right? I know.
They should be on the other side of the bracket.
I know. I saw the brackets. I was kind of surprised. Because the finals last time was Authors of Pain versus TM61.
I mean, really, TM61, they should be the new cornerstone of the division, and the next year should be them fighting with Street Profits. That's what it should be. But given these brackets, that's not going to be the case.
No.
So, I don't know. I think whoever did the brackets.
Triple H.
Yeah, he's great, though. Anyways, moving on.
Cesar Bononi versus Adam Cole, baby.
We got two Adam Cole babies before like any action even started.
I know.
Came in.
Three if you include the crowd saying baby.
Oh, I know. I have to mention this once again. Kyle O'Reilly, he was all over that air guitar. This was the most air guitar I've seen him do. He was like Hendrix on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with his whole body because, again, he doesn't strum.
He strums with his body.
He strums with his entire body, but this time it was like some metal shit going on.
Yeah, you're shredding, huh?
Those hips were moving big time.
He's into it. He loves that song.
It's great.
Adam Cole has his own Titantron now. It just said Adam Cole, didn't say Undisputed Era.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Same theme.
Yeah.
Custom Titantron.
Wow.
I wonder if Redragon's going to get their custom Titantron.
I would think so. They're champions, man.
Yeah, they should. Before the match starts, Adam Cole grabs the mic and, you know, congratulates Cesar Bononi for winning Future Star 2017 NXT Award and asks the crowd to give him a standing ovation. And he says, talent like you belongs in the Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle O'Reilly grabs a shirt from his back
pocket.
There's
one place where the Future Star of 2017 belongs, and that's the Undisputed Era. And, yeah, Kyle O'Reilly has a shirt ready. So he had an attempted shirt recruitment. So far, they were 0-1 with Roderick Strong. They even tried the armband recruitment. Didn't work.
Yeah, that's 0-2.
They're moving on to fresh young meat with Cesar Bononi.
Yes.
Gave him the shirt. Cesar Bononi's looking at it. This could be a new great step for Cesar Bononi.
Adam Cole sucker punched him.
Sucker punched, and then he does another Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I love shirt recruitments. I love swerves on shirt recruitments. Get out of here, nerd.
Is anybody seem more comfortable on the microphone than Adam Cole?
No.
It's amazing.
He's the most comfortable person even in front of a camera. That look on that happy look on his face, like, oh, I'm so happy right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, like
it's place infectious.
For, I know he feels most comfortable. It seems like
is when that red light's right there on
and
the camera.
He has
camera.
A mic in his hand.
Exactly,
man.
I freaking love Adam Cole. He's the best.
So, anyways, he sucker punches him. This isn't much of a match. Mm-hmm. Cole goes over pretty quickly after a distraction from Redragon. Mm-hmm. Super kick, Shining Wizard. Cole picks up the win.
Yep.
Shining Wizard to the back of the head.
To the back of the head, yeah. Cesar Bononi, this is like two times he's taken something to the back of the head. Didn't he take like a black mask to the back of the head?
I think it was from Cassius Ohno. Forearm. Like forearm to the back of the head, yeah.
He needs to be careful with that, man. What part of the brain is back here? Anterior lobe? What's anterior mean? Does it mean back?
Yeah, I guess so. Isn't the cerebral cortex the back bottom part of your brain?
Map of the brain. Let's find out. Oh, here we go.
Little brain. That's in the back of your head.
The little brain? Oh, wait. This is the front? Or is this the front? This is the back.
Oh, the this brain. Is... this
cerebellum.
Is, that's the...
Oh, back here is a cerebellum.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of.
The lingual...
Oh, it has
all the brain. And then, like, this is so... The lingual gyrus... I don't know what any of this means. Oh, here we go. Great. Phrenology. Vision and balance.
Let's talk about the Street Profits video package because it was outstanding.
Okay. Occipital lobe. There we go. It's the occipital lobe.
All right. It's more towards the neck. So you're
cerebellum. You're looking at the cerebellum then.
All right. Where's the cerebral cortex?
Cerebral cortex. No say. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know my brain very well. Street Profits doing a man on the street type interview segment.
Yeah, it was great because they just interviewed each other.
They made up fake names.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
I would love to think that they're too shy to approach actual people on the street, and that's why they did this. Also, why was this in 4-3? Why was the aspect ratio like that?
I don't know. I kind of liked it.
Okay, no, here's the thing. I would have liked it, but they didn't. They split them. They went. They centered them so that there's two people. And you're going in between them. Your shot is in between them. And so all you see is like the bare, like you just see kind of their faces.
Maybe they shot it vertical video on an iPhone and it's cropped in.
Yeah, that could be. No, it looked too clean for that. You would have noticed. It would have been.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like they need
to use a square frame.
Because it's like they, or use pan and scan.
Yeah.
Or pan and scan.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching it on like old TV.
And you see a shot move and you remember a shot didn't move in the theater or on DVD.
And the movement is so robotic.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyways, good stuff. Street Profits are great.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler.
Hold on. No, Manuel Garcia here. He's got a good bit of detail. When Angelo Dawkins said that, yeah, the Street Profits are going to win. Montez Ford just bolts down the street. That was funny. That was good stuff. I love those guys.
Oh, they're great. Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler, a rematch from the finals of the Mae Young Classic.
Why are they booking Kairi Sane so strong when they booked Ember Moon so weak?
Yeah, that's a good question.
She was matching Shayna Baszler. I was like... Is she going to win this? And then Shayna Baszler ended up choking her out.
Mm-hmm.
But why are they, comparatively speaking, Ember Moon has looked super weak against Shayna.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
But Kairi, this match, she looked super strong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing with Ember Moon, man.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's not looking great. They just send her to Maine. Okay, put her in the draft. Send her to Maine. Clean slate. She can get some wins.
You know what it kind of feels like with Ember Moon is that they're just booking her stories segment to segment, match to match, rather than an arc overall.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's what it kind of feels like.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see that.
I don't know.
But no, I really love this match. I can't get enough of Kairi Sane, to be honest with you.
Oh, she's
and,
great.
And I mean, Shayna Baszler, for them to be like sort of hopefully the foundational pieces for the women's division of NXT, My God, that's strong. That's mm-hmm. super strong. Mm-hmm. And so many great names coming up. Mm-hmm. So many great talents coming up. Bianca Belair. Mm-hmm. Apparently the Eclipse isn't what busted
No, I saw that too. It was a move prior.
Yeah. But, yeah, so much like that. I'm genuinely like, that women's division is pretty hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
Shayna Baszler is freaking great, dude. That little video package they did for her before this match was fantastic. And Kairi Sane just knows how to wrestle like mm-hmm. in the most dynamic fashion. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Anyways, Baszler went over with a choke. It was great. She kept it on a little long. Can't be doing that.
Nope. Can't be doing that.
And then to close out the show, we had Zelina Vega and Andrade Cien Almas. El Idolo.
What does Moro say?
El Idolo. And then Percy doesn't know any better, so he says the same thing. Oh, yeah. Idolo. No, sir. Here he comes. El Idolo. It's coming down. That's right, El Idolo, on his way down, says Nigel McGuinness. I don't care. I love all those guys.
Oh, yeah, they're all great.
There's nothing new here. They just clown Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah.
Andrade gets on there, calls him Johnny Jobless. His new name is Johnny Jobless. I am NXT champion. Oh, it's great. Freaking love him, man. Form a new LIJ.
Oh, heck yes.
With Ciampa and who else?
Oh, Ciampa has to be a solo guy.
No way, man. Put him in LIJ. Heck yes. Put him in LIJ. Who else goes in LIJ Nuevo, the new Los Ingobernables de NXT? How about Benoni can be the Sonata?
He'll
be
the Sonata.
Good looking guy, very athletic. Not sure what exactly his personality is.
Although, did you ever see that Sonata interview?
I didn't. Oh,
man,
okay.
It's great.
I'll check it out.
It's great.
Yeah, man. He's a good-looking guy, man. Mm-hmm. That hair. Mm-hmm. Holy moly.
Yeah, check out that interview with him before his match. I still need to watch that match against Okada.
Give me another name to be in.
No, Benoni's good.
Who's okay, so Benoni, Ciampa, Andrade Cien Almas, Zelina Vega.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You don't want one more guy?
No, that's perfect.
No? Okay, that's good. That's a good
group. They seem to like...
They like the three-man...
It's like Sanity, three men, one woman.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Speaking of Sanity...
Well, first,
we had a Killian Dain appearance, but not before.
Aleister Black. He had a mic. He looked like he was about to say something to Almas, who was at the top of the stage.
Andrade Almas.
Before he had a chance.
Do you like ice cream? Would you like some ice cream? I have sandwiches. I have... sprinkles. Now, they don't usually, like, ice cream trucks don't do,
no,
like,
you just get
actual...
the pre-made bars now. Right, they don't usually scoop ice cream for you anymore.
I've got, what are the rocket ones? Rocket Pops?
Yeah.
I've got Rocket Pops.
Yeah.
Many different colors.
Yes. Creamsicles.
Creamsicles.
Fudgesicles.
Fudgesicles. I'm partial to chocolate, so give me a fudgesicle, but I don't know what you like. Anyways, yeah, so he comes out, and then Killian Dain comes out. The funny thing about Killian Dain is that his music to kick things off, it takes a long time for anything
to
really happen.
There's almost a record scratch in it.
There's almost a record scratch, and there's kind of like a fart noise in it, too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Burn it. Burn it.
Yeah.
And Aleister Black.
Well, the music hits, and Aleister Black's just looking around for him.
He looks confused at what he's hearing in the first place. Like, is there a technical issue happening right now? Can we fade that music to black, please?
Yes.
Please. And then, yeah, so Killian Dain comes out, gives him a fun splash. That was awesome. Oh, I love the fun splash.
That was great.
Yeah, Aleister Black couldn't get a move off. Killian Dain drops him with a fun splash. While that's happening, Zelina Vega and Andrade Almas are just giving these ridiculous, like, confused looks.
And then laughing.
Like, do you guys not pay attention to the show? Do you not know that these guys are going to be coming after your
title?
Yeah,
I know. It was announced a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So then they moved along, and Killian Dain stood strong over Aleister Black. We all know what that means. When's their match? Next week?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably not. Well,
soon.
Soon. I mean, we're a month out from TakeOver, so they're going to do that. So they can do something with Aleister Black. Aleister Black. Cien Almas. You think Cien Almas is going to be in the draft?
Maybe.
If he drops that title at TakeOver and then do the Bobby Roode thing where he comes back, loses, and then just disappears.
Into the ether.
Yeah, gone.
Teleports directly to SmackDown.
And there we are, another... another NXT. Yeah, probably SmackDown. I could see him going on SmackDown and then us being wholly disappointed.
Oh, yes.
With him not taking
it. Being on TV once
every month. Who's his first feud going to be with? Dolph?
Yeah, no.
Another Dolph feud.
Time for Gatekeeper Dolph to return.
Yeah.
Let's answer some questions. What do you say?
I mean, we typically do that.
That's how we usually operate here.
Probably going to be a good idea.
Jerome Murray, power rank your top five most real appetizers for a WrestleMania watch party. It's pizza rolls.
Yeah, man, pizza rolls.
That's usually our preferred appetizer.
Mm-hmm. Why am I tripping right now?
I don't know, man.
Go here first.
You don't know how to operate websites, apparently.
I don't know how to do internet.
No. What's happening over there? There we go. What else? What else? I mean, you can't go wrong with a good veggie plate. A good platter with some vegetables on it. It's good for you. Especially if you're having pizza rolls to counter the pizza rolls.
Yeah, we did that
delicious
once.
Delicious is what they are.
We did that once.
That time you got croissant sandwiches. That was nice. Because I love me some croissants.
Yeah, we'll do that for
Mania. Let's get a whole spread.
Oh, well, yeah, Mania. We're going to need breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, we'll be there for 8 hours.
Yeah, I'm going to wear my pajamas for Mania.
How is that different than most other days?
Laura, at the office, I can't do that. I have jeans on right now, man. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll do... Look, what's the next one coming up? Fastlane?
Yeah.
We're going to be in the office. We're doing the live stream for Fastlane.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be kind of a bare bones
operation.
I'll
put it this way. We're either going to do a live stream for Fastlane at the office or nowhere because we're not doing it here anymore.
All right.
I got too many evil looks from the wife. She's like, I thought you were going to be out of here already. Tranquilo. Never tell a wife tranquilo, man. Doesn't go over well.
Oh, really?
Well, once they know what it means.
It just means relax.
I know.
All right.
You can't say that to...
Well, do you do it earnestly or sarcastically?
Oh, I don't... You never talk to your wife earnestly.
Oh, okay.
Don't do that.
What does it mean seriously?
You want to get an ass whooping? How many bruises I have from her? I'm an abused husband, Larson. I'm joking. She can wrestle, though, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We can't really do it anymore because, like, Bama starts freaking out. But, like, man, she knows some, like, she's a mat wrestler. She's, like, a technical wrestler.
Really?
She's, like, the Zack Sabre Jr.
Like
of Bret wives.
She puts you in a shoe hold and break your foot.
Right. And then stand over me and say, F you. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's coming up on a countout this week.
Oh, my God. That I laugh story. So hard at that.
I know. Bronze grappling hook. Would you rather debut by yourself or with a group? By yourself, you get all the spotlight, but in a group, your weaknesses may not be as noticeable, but you're compared to others in the group.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the spotlight,
mm-hmm.
man.
Yeah.
So low.
Oh, man, but it's so cool being part of a faction. Like, remember how cool it was when Sanity debuted and nobody even knew that Nikki Cross was a gal? You know, like they come out, it's like, oh, look, they even have like a cruiserweight. But then she takes it off. It's like, oh, my God, that was a woman. She looks terrifying. She's going to murder everybody. So, yeah, I don't know. It depends. I mean, I'm kind of feeling a faction.
All right.
But then you're in danger of getting lost in the shuffle.
Exactly.
You want to make sure you're not, who's the dude in Sanity?
Alexander Wolf.
Yeah, you want to make sure you're not him.
Well, he still moshes, so that helps him stand out.
Ideally, you want to be an Eric Young
uh-huh.
or even a Killian Dane where everybody's like, see that dude in the back who isn't really talking a lot? Keep an eye on him. Braun Strowman kind of broke the mold with that. He set a new precedent
mm-hmm.
for guys, big men in factions, who then break off. And it's
and
like
ultimately outdid the leader of said faction.
See that dude back there? He's going to be big. Well, like Killian Dane back there? He's going to be big.
Larson's Black Cat stepfather. Who from NXT would you like to see join Balor Club sometime in the future? Oh, it's Adam Cole, baby.
Oh, it's Adam Cole.
It's Adam Cole, baby.
Oh, are you kidding me?
He joins and then starts a mutiny.
Yeah, he picks up. That's his gimmick from promotion to promotion. He joins the Bullet Club guy.
And then tries to instigate a mutiny.
Right, exactly.
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. Plot twist. You guys have recently been informed that Vince is the one making all the good decisions at WWE while Triple H is making the bad ones. How do you react?
Hey, Vince is the guy who came up with the gauntlet thing for Raw a couple weeks back. My reaction is this. He still has good ideas.
Yeah.
He still has a lot of value. And I don't say that in a condescending manner at all. But a lot of people do. It's... You know, not everything he does is going to be bad. It's just, is he kind of out of touch with certain aspects of wrestling these days? I believe probably yes. And I think Triple H has his finger on the pulse of what, you know, modern wrestling fans appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at NXT, it's my favorite thing right now. But, you know, I think Vince, when push comes to shove, he's still the man.
Yeah.
And if he comes up with good ideas, I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah.
If I found out all of a sudden that Vince was actually the guy literally writing NXT every week, I'd be really surprised, because at that point I'd be like, well, why isn't he doing that with Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah, maybe he wants each of his shows to have a different kind of feel to him.
But that's not true, because look at SmackDown.
No, I know. Well, he has a way different feel to it than Raw does. It's got a crap feel to it.
A worse feel.
Jose GGR, what is a harder move to perform in your estimation, a shooting star press or 054?
Which one's 054?
What Mustafa Ali does.
I mean, they're probably both horribly difficult to do for a guy like me.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think I'll do either.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how difficult they are, because I've never tried doing them and I probably never will.
Which one's a shooting star press?
The one that Brock Lesnar almost broke his neck doing.
It's like an inverted moonsault.
Well,
right?
you jump off the ropes and flip backwards.
What's a moonsault?
Moonsault is where you start on the rope backwards and just go do a backflip.
I'd have to see them both side by side. I don't know.
Moonsault's what Charlotte does. She has her back to who she's jumping on.
Okay.
Whereas
okay.
A shooting star press is what Lesnar did. You're on the rope facing your opponent, and they do a backflip off there.
You should be a teacher. But Mustafa Ali doesn't have like a ton of flips in it, like spins.
Yeah, he spins. He does. Yeah. He does 450 degrees of rotation.
Yeah, okay.
But he's backs to the opponent and he jumps out but spins in.
Yeah.
A rotation and a quarter.
Yeah. Probably that.
A rotation and a half. Sorry.
Probably that. I mean, I don't think Brock could do that. Brock is kind of Brock kind of hit the shooting star press.
He just
kind of
light on his head.
And I know the only reason he did that is because he had done it before.
Yeah, he used to do an OVW.
An OVW. Yeah. So I would say the one that's more difficult is the 054.
Okay.
Because I don't see Brock doing that.
No. CM Punk finds insulting. Should Triple H ever have a match at TakeOver? If so, then who should be his opponent, and why are they fighting? He says Pete Dunne, Triple H is fighting him because Pete Dunne decides the NXT title is garbage and goes full Naito on it.
I think that's actually a really cool scenario. That would be a really cool scenario. I like that. Well done, Thayer Thabata.
Aaron Smith, if NXT had been around 10, 15 years ago and the style that it has today, do you guys feel that some performers that didn't last or couldn't get over would have been much bigger than they were had they gone through the NXT system? He brings up Chris Masters, Mark Jindrak, and so on. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, that would have been OVW. So they had a development situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the booking was like in comparison to what NXT does. Cornette was in charge of OVW, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least for a while.
For a spell, yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, so he mentions Chris Masters, Mark Jindrak. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I guess the question really is, if that mindset existed 10 to 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that exists now, where they, you know, they're high on wrestlers for different reasons than they were 10, 15 years ago. Because back then, you know, I mean, you look at the wealth of body guys,
mm-hmm.
and now it's not that. Now it's
not
like,
necessarily, no, yeah.
What are you like as an
overall performer?
Overall performer,
yeah.
You know, regardless of what your body looks like. Big Joe Shea here mentions Colt Cabana. That's actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
If Colt Cabana was 10 to 15 years younger and he was just coming up now, yeah, he probably would succeed in NXT.
Yeah.
Because look at the guy. You know,
yeah.
He's got everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I mean, if the mindset existed at that time, then probably, yeah, you'd see like guys who might have washed out back then come through and be successful.
High Fly Kagan. What is one thing in wrestling that both of you could never agree on? Be it wrestling style, booking choices, or whether or not a certain wrestler was any good?
Oh, man. Is there any classic things that we just don't agree on?
Nothing really comes to mind offhand.
Chat probably knows better than we do.
Yeah, no, they seem to have better recollection of what we said and done than we do.
Patrick Oliva says Christian Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
that's not a big one though.
No,
like, and honestly, like, given how like all the other people, there have been so many other people like less qualified than Christian in the Hall of Fame.
Better
so
in the Hall of Fame,
I would
no.
be totally cool with it.
Yeah,
I just like to be a hard
contrarian. You get on me about being a contrarian, but you're a contrarian too.
That's not being a contrarian. Was I just a contrarian by saying that?
The cat, Daryl Takahashi. Assuming Ciampa keeps his psycho killer character on main power rank, his best feuds, and he's on the main roster.
Aaron Smith mentions here, like, I guess Ty Dillinger's ceiling, I think we kind of disagreed on. You saw it a bit higher than I did.
Well, at least in NXT, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was just based on the story they were telling.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, feud for Ciampa on the main roster if he's still psycho killer.
Which I think he should be.
Yes.
Man, I don't know. I see him as a... He better go to Raw, man. They put him better put him on Raw. I don't know. There's so many people in NXT.
Going after Finn or something like that.
Yeah, there's so many people already that I want to see against him in
or
NXT.
Seth Rollins.
Like Aleister Black. I want to see him versus Aleister Black. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be awesome if they played a long guy. I really liked your idea of having Johnny Gargano go out to the indie circuit and do stuff in PWG and, you know, whatever, Ring of Honor or whatever. And then come back around, have Ciampa win the title.
And have Gargano come back around and
start terrorizing him until Ciampa says, okay, bring him back.
Broken Steve, given the strength of a super kick, power rank the five things Adam Cole Bebe can do, can kick down with his super kick. Number one for him is a tree.
Oh, you think that's possible, huh? Like, what about like a load-bearing column in a house?
All right.
Maybe that.
Bring the whole house down. Yeah.
He brings the house down.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is Breeze Quinoa. Drew McIntyre is 6'5", 265 pounds. He's a Jack Burley man with a Scottish accent that can work, and most importantly, is over as hell. Why isn't this guy the first name mentioned as the future face of the company? His work and persona grabs men and children. His looks and charisma grabs women, which also translate to the mainstream audience. He's 32, at least 10 years left in him. What am I missing here?
Who, Drew McIntyre?
Yeah.
Well, he's injured.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah.
But healthy Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got everything.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you got to get past NXT before you start talking about being the face of the company.
Yes.
But no, I absolutely agree with that. I think that Drew's fantastic and he has everything.
Yeah. If he can stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's going to be the thing. The cat Daryl Takahashi, what are the odds that Velveteen Dream is a Triple H guy?
Well, okay. Who do we know? Who do we feel confident calling a Triple H guy in NXT right now?
Aleister Black.
Yeah,
for sure. I would say Killian Dane.
I'd say Almas too.
You would say, oh, interesting. Almas. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I can see that. Almas. Okay. Chris Hero.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Now, what do we use? What criteria do we use to define Triple H guys?
Guys you could see in 3 to 5 years closing Raw with Triple H raising their arm.
Okay. But the genesis of becoming a Triple H guy, like Triple H saw them out on the independent circuit and wanted them.
So, like Owens. Like,
oh, man. I really, like Finn. This guy's great.
Yes.
I don't know necessarily that Patrick Clark would have been that guy. But I could see him turning into a Triple H guy. I could
based
see,
on his work in the PC.
Based on his work, I could see him impressing Triple H and being like,
oh, Joe Shea says Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne's a Triple H guy.
Oh, he is like, yeah, totally a Triple H guy.
Alexi says Pete Dunne may well be the Triple H guy right now. No, Finn Balor is top Triple H guy.
In NXT anyways.
Yeah.
But no, Finn Balor is ultimate Triple H guy at this point.
Most definitely. Oh, hungry.
Oh, here we go. I like this one. The excessively saccharine Mark of Steel. Many terms in wrestling are based on wrestlers' names. The Dusty Finish, Hulking Up or Hulking Out, X-Pac Heat. What are some new terms we can use based on current wrestlers? That guy's a Jarrett draw.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning he doesn't draw.
Doesn't draw.
Oh, him. He's a Jarrett draw.
What about
Roman reaction?
Yeah. We can call it Roman heat instead of X-Pac heat, maybe.
I like the reaction because it's more the reaction that they get. I know heat is a reaction, but the weird mixed reaction where sometimes they'll boo, sometimes there's confusing
maybe,
everybody.
Maybe we can start calling 5-star matches the Omega.
Oh, there you go. An Omega.
Or a 6-star match.
He had an Okada.
Like
an Okada Omega match, yeah. We kind of say that these days, though, you know? He had kind of an Okada Omega match. I mean, we refer to like, oh, is he going to get an Oscar streak?
Yeah.
An Oscar-like streak.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that.
Mm-hmm.
So we already kind of do that.
Yeah.
We kind of do that. I like the Jarrett draw, though. I just came up with that.
Good job.
Spot.
That's good.
You like that?
A tie ceiling.
Ouch.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Mr. Ron 38, new patron here. A dream match for me would be Pete Dunne versus Aleister Black for the UK Championship. Which stage would you rather see this match take place? NXT New Orleans or WrestleMania 34? Anything to get Pete Dunne and Aleister Black on Mania, I'd be all about. That'll probably be a match for the Universal title in 3 years.
Yeah.
So WrestleMania 37.
Yeah, there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that'd be hot.
The Dean of Nefarious Means, Ronan Cahill, do you guys think that a top 10 seating system could be beneficial for 205 Live following the Cruiserweight tournament? Could be a good way of making sure each match has stakes, which should be good for viewer interest. Also, what the SmackDown top 10 should be rankings,
yeah,
actually.
I like that idea a lot. Like, maybe do
based on wins and losses. It's all
wins
kayfabe,
and losses, and like, you know.
But that's something for more concrete than backstage leadership or whatever Daniel Bryan said the SmackDown top 10 was based on.
Right, exactly, yeah. Because you need heels on it.
And yeah.
There's no possibility that any heels are going to be on the SmackDown top 10.
No.
Which, by the way, was 1 week and for some reason is still.
The only people that care about it seemingly are Bob Roode and Jinder Mahal.
Oh my gosh. Like, I honestly thought it was going to be like an updated weekly thing.
Yeah, me too.
Like, oh, did you see the latest standings in the SmackDown top 10? Apparently, you know, freaking Bob Roode pissed somebody off back there because he dropped down to number 9.
He ate the last piece of
right.
flank steak backstage. And so half the locker room's upset with him.
Right, exactly.
Legit Hoss Tony Coyote. If Roderick Strong ends up being knocked out of the tournament by Cedric, do you think he is going to be kept on 205 Live or back to NXT? And would you guys keep him on 205 Live or send him to NXT to try for the championship? Thanks, friendos. They said last night when he walked out for his match, they referred to him as NXT superstar Roderick Strong.
Mm-hmm. But then, hold on WWE.com today, there's an article that says how Roderick Strong balances life between NXT and 205 Live.
Oh, he's moonlighting,
so
huh?
So, like, yeah, he's, and there's literally a picture of him
with the logos of each show in each hand.
Not that literal.
Oh, all right.
But it's.
Do you check WWE.com daily for wrestling news?
For wrestling news, it's my dirt sheet.
Yes.
WWE, like, no, man, I had to get the thumbnail. I had to get the thumbnail for today's episode.
Oh.
Of Adam Cole and trying to offer Cesar Bononi.
Yeah.
Not so. I have a couple different. Oh, no. Look at this WWE exclusive road dog on how Jeff Jarrett influenced his career. Tell me how not to write wrestling.
I know. Took booking advice from Jeff Jarrett.
Exactly. Look at this. National Pig Day. Triple H is out of his element in the infamous hog pen match. Like, he's so confused right here. That's great.
So we get a couple more questions here. Oh, here we go. Joe Shea, after losing the second round of the Mixed Match Challenge and the Elimination Chamber, is Blue Balor officially the weakest Balor?
No, Pumpkin Balor.
Yeah.
No Balor will ever be weaker than Pumpkin Balor.
Correct.
Now, you can start asking yourself, where does he rank between red, burgundy, white, you know,
there's gray.
Gray Balor, you know, that's a debate to be had. But in terms of the weakest Balor, it's always Pumpkin Balor.
Yeah. The buff that runs the stuff, given Steve's vocal dislike of heavy machinery, how does he feel about Otis Dozovic winning PWI's 2017 Rookie of the Year?
Why would he? That's the most random award.
It's a little random, yeah.
That's the most random, yeah. Why? On what basis did they dole out that award to him?
I don't know. Kayfabe, I mean, that's PWI. It's kayfabe.
Well, I know, but why wouldn't the other guy, Tucker Knight? Why wouldn't he want to, you know?
I don't know.
What did he do?
I don't know, man.
Was Dozovic actually a rookie? Was 2017 his debut year in wrestling? If that's the case, then yeah, he kind of does, because holy crap, he's like literally.
Maybe.
He
was around in 2016 because he was involved in the last Dusty Classic. He wasn't partnered with Tucker Knight, I don't think, yet. But
wow, he debuted in 2015, according to this.
All right.
Holy crap. Good for him. So I don't, man, I'm not, he's only 26. He looks 56. I'm not trying to crap on anybody. And to be honest with you, if he was repackaged as something else that I found appealing,
what
I'd
you
totally
dislike
be into
is
him.
Their is their packaging.
I can't stand it. Yeah. It's the most 1995 WCW bullshit I've ever seen in my life.
I actually like Otis. I think he's got some personality.
I think he's got, dude, I think he has loads of charisma. I just, man, I'm not into how they're using it.
Yeah. Morgan the Younger, not a wrestling question, but a music question. Put together a music festival featuring your five favorite bands, two sweet cheers. Let's put a stipulation here to make it a wrestling question. Five favorite band, but they all have to play wrestling themes. So, for example, if you have Radiohead in this festival, their set has to be consisted of their versions of wrestling themes. So it's not only bands that we like that we think can do interesting covers of wrestling themes.
Oh, man. I mean, I know he's dead now, but Soundgarden, I'd want to see them do wrestling themes.
That'd be good.
I would want to see that.
All right.
What I wonder, what wrestling theme would you want to hear Radiohead cover? Because I'm kind of curious now.
Like Nikki Cross's.
Oh.
Something kind of a little more electronic.
Wow, that'd be cool. Yeah. I wonder how Radiohead could handle the Street Profits theme.
Well, that'd be good.
That'd be kind of cool, too.
Yeah,
huh?
Man.
Yeah. Wow.
Run the Jewels.
Ooh, I'd like to hear them do Aleister Black's theme.
Okay.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Man, that's good.
That's three. We need two more.
All right.
What about... Who am I listening to a lot lately?
Is Jerry or Rafferty still alive?
You would have him do all the 80s wrestling themes?
Yeah, exactly. Be so mellow.
Isn't it... Rick Dillinger do Hogan's old theme?
You know what'd be rad?
What?
Clint Mansell.
Oh, yeah.
Have him do some themes. That'd I don't be know good. Who's, but that'd be
something
rad.
More atmospheric.
Right, exactly.
We need like a power pop or a pop punk band to do like Johnny Gargano's.
Yeah. I don't really know much of that kind of music.
Nor do I these days.
It sounds so cheesy to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I'd love to see Bon Iver, but, you know, doesn't really jive with anything going on there.
Yeah, man, you can't put that. You're getting into the vaudevillains level of putting the audience to sleep music.
I know.
That wouldn't be good. Anyways, that's it for the show. I think that was a good show we had today.
Quality show.
Hilton, let's get some music, please, Hilton. Thank you, Hilton. Anyways, that's it for going wrong. Thanks so much for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.